Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on this, what are we at here? Thursday, March the 18th, 2021. That's where we are today. 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. A very rainy Thursday morning as we head into spring, which again, if you listen to the meteorologist, spring will come on the 20th, which will be Saturday. If you listen to me, the spring solstice will come on Sunday, March the 21st. Either way, we will not lose an hour of sleep this weekend, and spring will come before we're back here on Monday morning. Now, this morning, there are a few things I want to do. Yesterday, we heard about Mr. Quigley, who passed away at the age of 101. He was a World War II veteran. He was well decorated, and I believe it was announced here first that there was going to be a flyover. I don't know how many people yesterday went out and looked and watched the flyover, but video was taken of that by Terry Klein, and Terry does a great job of taking video of that nature. He's studied that, and he certainly knows how to do it better than anybody I know, and he took a video of that, and that I'm sure will be appreciated by the Quigley family and by people who wanted to see it who maybe could not be there to see it during this pandemic time. So what a nice way to send off Mr. Quigley. And I do want to thank Jeff Bickley, who sent me a message last night of the report on Channel 6 in which they ran the story sending off this World War II veteran. You know, it's very nice that that happens, because these veterans are leaving us at a very high rate in 2021 when you consider that war was fought in the 1940s. And those gentlemen in the 1940s were probably, you know, people will debate the age, but they were teenagers, they were in their 20s, so you add about 20 years, let's say on average, to the early 1940s, and we're in the early 2021s, so we're talking nearly 100 years ago, and Mr. Quigley would prove that yesterday, passing away at 101, when he passed away, and his funeral was yesterday. So we certainly thank anybody who was a World War II veteran, because that war, not that it overshadows any other war, but that war was a very big issue in this country, because we could have been taken over, as opposed to the other wars. Because Hitler was definitely out for world domination. There's no doubt about that. World War I, we were at war, but there really was not as great a threat that the United States was going to be overcome by another country. Certainly overseas, that was not the thought. And Vietnam, it was an ugly, awful, terrible war for a lot of people who came back in body bags and missing limbs and just terrible. But again, we were not fearful that the Vietnamese were going to try to take over the world. That was not what was going there. And Korea, we were not fearful that Korea was going to take over the world, and Iraq, all this sort of thing, terrorism. I think that was the one time where there was a real threat since the beginning of this country, even the Civil War. You know, if the South had won in the Civil War, it still would have been people in this country running the country. So that's a little different, the Civil War. But World War II was another country, another entity, with another form of government trying to take over the world. Now, I don't know, really, if they could have taken over the United States. Well, if they had taken over all of Europe, it's possible. It certainly is possible that they would have been able to do that. But luckily, it did not get to that point. Thanks to all those men who fought, all those brave men who did lose their lives and the ones who did not lose their lives in World War II. And trust me, we think about them every day, because we would not be here doing what we do had it not been for those men. And you know, sometimes you think about people like that. You think about really any soldier who served in any war, in any type of combat. And what I always think about is you think about the problems you have in life. You think about the day-to-day problems, not wanting to get up for work, somebody calls you a name, somebody puts something on social media, you don't feel that great today, you're a little under the weather. What these men faced every day, the possibility of death and the possibility of killing somebody else to try to keep this country safe. Now that is a plateful every day. Not to mention the conditions a lot of these soldiers had to live under when they were overseas that we certainly do not live under here day to day. So, we always salute the soldiers. Now, that's something we have never talked about on this show, I don't believe. Do you think the soldiers get their due in this country? That's a question. And how do you feel about the wars, particularly of the 20th century? I mean, I think the Civil War is talked about an awful lot. Heavens knows there have been a lot of documentaries about it. And the Revolutionary War, you know, we wouldn't be here if that war had not been fought. But when you get into Korea, when you get into Vietnam, when you get into World War I and World War II and the Iraq War, those wars, the War on Terror, which I think certainly is a war. When you get into those, how do you see them? You know, the way the Vietnam veteran was treated when the Vietnam War was over was just horrible. I mean, it was absolutely terrible. And I don't know, there might be some World War II soldiers still out there. I don't think there are any World War I soldiers left. But are there any soldiers listening to this the show this morning who have a memory they want to share? You know, we tape everything here, and it's all on record, and I don't know that we've ever talked about this. I know a lot of soldiers do not like to talk about their time in war, and I always wonder about that. It's certainly their prerogative, but I wonder if it's because it was traumatic. I wonder if it's because it's over and they wanted to put that behind them. I wonder if it is something they were told while they were overseas that we don't talk about this when we go back. I don't know. I think any reason certainly is acceptable because of the job that they did. But we've been lucky enough to interview some World War II vets, and I believe Korean vets and Vietnam veterans, and it's always a pleasure to have them, even Iraqi veterans. It's a pleasure to have them on, because I just can't imagine the conditions that people were under and what their real fears were, what their real concerns were, not only from the enemy, but being away from home. You know, being away from home certainly I don't think was any picnic for any of these soldiers. So if you got a story you'd like to share, and maybe it's about a family member, because as we have said, a lot of these World War I, World War II veterans, Civil War veterans, certainly are not with us anymore. Maybe they were your uncle or your father or your grandfather or your great-grandfather. Does anybody have any memories of any of these people? I think they're important to talk about and remember. I remember Bob Smith, who for many years owned Smith Cardinal over on Main Street. I remember when he came in, we really wanted to talk about the history of Smith Cardinal, because he had been there for many, many years. And I think when Bob came in, he was in his late 80s. And we talked a lot about Smith Cardinal, and it was a really fascinating interview, and I really liked Bob. Bob was a really good golfer. I learned that in that interview, that Bob was a really good golfer, but he was a really good businessman as well. And I see his daughter around town quite a bit, and it's always a pleasure to see her. But Bob was a World War II veteran, and I did not know that until I had interviewed him. I would not have known that. So that was fascinating. Joe Ione was a World War II veteran, WMRN newsman, who I interviewed several times. Now, he did not like talking about the war. He had, I think, a traumatic experience in the war, and later on I did find out it was traumatic from his wife, Patty. He had a very traumatic experience where I believe he was out with his, and I'm trying to remember the particulars of this, but he was out with his group, and their plane was shot down, and they ended up in the water, and they ended up on a raft, just clinging for I don't know how many days. And Joe did not like to talk about that. That was a very tough thing for him. So I remember that very well. And I know I'm leaving other people out who I've talked to who were World War II. Well, my father was a Vietnam veteran. But you know what's interesting about that? I never talked to my father about it. I know that he was injured in the war. He was rappelling out of an airplane and the rope snapped. And thank goodness he wasn't killed, because if he was killed, I wouldn't be here. But I know that's what happened, but other than that, he never talked about it. He never talked about where he was. He never talked about being in combat. He never talked about what the reception was like when he came back. He did not talk about it. The only thing I ever knew, and really to this day firsthand know about his experience in the Vietnam War, was that he was hurt rappelling out of an airplane, or a helicopter, I guess it would have been, when the rope snapped. So that's it. Other than that, you know, I'm sure I've interviewed people in other wars, as I say, but some talk about it and some don't. And I don't think, and I'm not saying that my father would not have talked about it, but I don't remember ever asking him about it. And he never offered it up. It was just not something he talked about. So I don't know why that was. Does anybody have any theories on this, or have you had similar experiences with your relatives? 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. And also yesterday we had asked about Mr. Quigley, who passed away at 101 years old. Did anybody know him out there? What an interesting life this man must have led. And I'm glad, as I say, he had the proper send-off yesterday with the flyover. So that's very nice. And again, I thank, certainly thank Terry Klein for shooting the video and sending that over, and Channel 6 for covering that part of it, and Jeff Bickley for sending over the news report in regard to that. So that's the story there this morning. Again, if you have any story in regard to that, give us a buzz here. That's why we're here, and that's why the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Here we are, WWGH Radio. You know, and I wonder what the mood was here in Marion during World War II, for example. The people who stayed here, the women, and the men who did not go off to war, and the people who were children at that time who were not going off to war. What do they remember about wartime? What type of things were being done here in Marion? Now, there could be a lot of those people who are still out there in the listening audience, because we know, for whatever reason, women do tend to live longer than men, and we also know that children would certainly be about 10 to 15 years younger than their predecessors. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. When do you give the obituaries?
The obituaries are every morning at 8:05, 10:05, then at afternoon, 12:05, and 4:05.
And they weren't on at 8:05.
No, they were. I sat here and listened to them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were on this morning.
8:05, and then at what time again? 10:05?
Yeah, they'll be on again this morning at 10:05.
Okay. Maybe my clock's a little slow. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, now I can vouch this morning. I actually got here pretty early this morning, and I was sitting behind the desk when the obituaries played this morning at 8:05. I know a lot of people like to listen to these, so, you know, every so often I think we should repeat this, that the obituaries play in full on this station every morning at 8:05, around about that area. I don't think they play any earlier than 8:05, but if you start listening at 8:05, you're going to hear them before 8:10. So 8:05, 10:05 a.m., 12:05 p.m., and then 4:05 p.m. every day. That's when the obituaries play. All right. Phone lines again open 740-383-9944. You know, I was thinking about something yesterday. When we were doing our favorite donut, which, by the way, I do want to ask that again since we didn't get it yesterday. Does anybody know what Marion's favorite donut is? We still don't know the answer to this. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, it's Dustin.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm on my way to work.
Oh.
I've never had any, like, personal war stories because I was never involved in any military branch. I actually wanted to join the Army when I was 20, but I couldn't because I had heart defect that stopped me. But since then I've dealt with a lot of friends who were Army vets, Marine vets. I've had quite a few Army vets. The one thing that sticks into my mind when it comes to their experiences is their discipline, their training, the whole concept of them going overseas is really an adventure, but it comes with sort of, I don't want to call it a curse, but that's sort of what it is. Some of the things that you don't want to remember, but you do at the same time.
Now, do you find that when your friends and acquaintances have come back, that they are different people?
Yes.
In what ways?
Not in a sense that their character is different, but in a sense that they are, in different ways. As far as their training goes, yes, they're more disciplined. They're up bright and early every morning. In a sense that it changes who they are, it does a little bit, especially if they were in any firefights, if they have any PTSD. Like, for instance, my friend a few years ago, he was sharing some photos. He was an Iraqi war veteran, and he was sharing some photos from his times during the war. And I remember later that day, after sharing those photos, he fell asleep and took a nap. Well, at some point, I went to go into the room where he was taking a nap to check on him, and he was laying there, eyes moving in the back of his eyelids, and his trigger finger was twitching. And I was like, oh no, he's having a bad dream. And I, like, kind of stood, I had to stand at the edge of the couch where he was sleeping and kind of gently tap his foot, because I knew, I know from personal experience what it's like to wake up in a panic, because I had childhood trauma, and I know how it is. You're likely to come up swinging. So I kind of gently tapped him on the foot, and he immediately woke up in a panic. Would not speak, immediately walked outside and smoked a cigarette, wouldn't talk. And it was clear to me that he was having a dream about something that happened to him during the war. And those types of things can really mentally mess with somebody's head. They don't ever feel safe after they come back. When they're driving, for example, I've worked with some of vets who they are afraid to get too close to other vehicles because of IEDs and such.
Well, it's fascinating because clearly I don't know what kind of person my father was before he went to war, but I just know, and I don't know if it was a trauma, but he just never spoke of it outside, talking about rappelling out of the helicopter and having the rope break. Outside of that, he never talked about the conditions. He never talked about being in combat, which I know he was. It was never talked about. Now, he was not, I never experienced him having any of those issues where he would wake up from a bad dream or anything like that. But it was just something he didn't talk about. And I've also found that with a lot of World War II veterans like Bob Smith. I don't think Bob Smith was trying to hide that he was in the World War II. I just think unless he was asked about it, he really didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I've had a couple of them. I've over the years I've worked with a lot of different vets because since I couldn't join them, I kind of wanted to help on the backside as a civilian and try to kind of help them through that trauma whenever I come across somebody with it. And I try to do the best I can to try to make them feel comfortable and make them safe, feel safe. One I actually encountered when I'd asked her, she had told me that she was an Army vet. She used to refill the helicopters while they were coming back to refuel. The helicopter would fly in and it'd hover about 5 to 6 feet off the ground, sometimes four, and she would get underneath and refuel it. When I asked her about any personal experiences she had, she completely shut down. She automatically was like, I don't want to talk about it. She was smoking a cigarette at the time. She put the cigarette out and then walked inside. And a lot of them, especially for Vietnam veterans, they don't really like to talk about it. Vietnam was, I think, probably one of the grisliest wars we probably had in terms of the amount of combat that happened, with how many people died. Just the overall kind of the terrain in general, it was completely frightening. You could get shot at from multiple directions, but you can't see anybody because the jungle was so thick. And that's scary. That's completely scary. So I guess it's different. Some people just, they handle their trauma by not talking about it, and some people handle it by talking about it.
You know, I have a question. I know you didn't end up in any kind of war or combat because of your health concerns, but when you wanted to go in, because I always wonder about this, what made you want to enlist?
I think it was just because I wanted... there was two reasons, I believe, because it was a long... It was like nine years ago, I believe. And I think there was... I wanted to do something more with what I was doing. I was a college dropout, not because I couldn't get the correct grades, but because I just didn't have enough money to cover all of my tuition. And I wanted to do something where I knew I was going to get paid. I wanted to basically go and see where the Army would take me. And I didn't really have a full idea or concept of what I wanted to do. I just kind of had the idea, well, I think I want to join the Army. Well, after talking with some friends who knew me and knew my health background, there's no way. You would get through recruiting, and then they go through your physical, and you wouldn't make it through. And I understood, and I was kind of upset at the time, but now I look back and I'm glad I didn't, because I don't know what type of person I would have been now if I had had to go overseas and fight, dealing with trauma from my childhood and trauma on top of that from, you know, being overseas. So those types of things, I don't know. I guess that was the thing. I wanted to do something honorable, and I found honor in a lot of vets who come back. Now, I mean, I'm not saying, like, every veteran is a hero, because some people are just, it doesn't matter what they do, they're still evil, but a lot of them aren't. So I guess I just wanted to be one of those people. I wanted to go and fight for my country. I wanted to do something that my parents would be proud of.
Well, it's interesting, and I certainly thank you for sharing those stories. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem, Scott. Anytime.
Bye-bye. And I appreciate that. That's a very interesting perspective on somebody who wanted to enroll in the military but was not able to do so because of health conditions, and somebody who has had friends who has been involved in who have been involved in war conditions, who obviously are feeling the after effects of that many, many years later. Does anybody have any stories like this? I think they're interesting, and you don't have to give your name if you don't want to when you call in, or even give the name of the person. But these people, again, 740-383-9944 would be the telephone number, 740-383-9944. One of the things that is interesting to me about, and I don't know why this is particularly World War II people, but the World War II veterans that seemingly came back were very business-oriented. When they came back, you know, they went for what at that time I think was considered the American dream. Now, maybe it still is. I don't know. They wanted to own houses. They wanted to own property. They wanted to go to work every day. They wanted to own their own business. They wanted to live that sort of life. I guess what we would probably call middle class. That's what they wanted to be. Now, that I don't know if that had anything to do with what where they came from, that they wanted a normal life. But I think it was a different makeup than the people we have today. Now, the people who came back from Vietnam, I think there were a lot of reasons that people were traumatized by that particular war. I think that they were aware, in a lot of cases, that people back here were no longer supporting that war. And that's a whole discussion. You know, because you don't support a war does not mean you don't support the troops. And there is a difference. And when people try to lump that together, I do not like that. Because there are wars that we probably should not have been in. And saying that, I don't think makes you a bad person. A matter of fact, I have known many veterans of other wars who have said, we should not be in that war. Well, that's not supporting the war. But it doesn't mean you don't support the troop. I've never heard anybody attack the troops. Why would you attack the troops? They're doing a job, and I have heard from many troops who were active combat in many wars who didn't want to be there, just did not feel the war was right, but because they had enlisted, they went, because that's what you do. And to me, that's a sign of bravery. Certainly more brave than I would ever be. So I don't like that whole idea of if you don't support the war, you don't support the troops. There could be nothing further from the truth. Who does not support the troops? I don't know anybody who has ever been negative to the troops. Now, if you know somebody of substantiation who has done that, I would love to know. Now, I know they have labeled people that over the years because, again, they did not support the war. They get labeled as not supporting the troops. But what person ever went out and said, I do not support the troops? I can't even imagine anybody saying that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And, you know, that's sometime a little tactic that people use. And I don't think that's a good tactic for people to go out and use. But there we are. If you'd like to share your story, maybe an aunt, an uncle, grandfather, grandmother, mother, father, brother, any war, maybe yourself. Maybe you were involved in a war situation. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, yesterday, we also never got the answer to this. Marion's favorite donut. Now, again, this is probably not, you know, this is not going to be written in any book. But here's what I'm tallying this on. I have been to Starbucks in the car with people and seen people order this donut. I have been to Tim Hortons in the car with people and seen them order this donut. I have been to Dunkin' with people and seen them in the car and seen them order this donut. The day we went to Dunkin' on their grand opening, this was the only donut that they ran out of. The demand outran the supply. So that's why I'm calling this Marion's favorite donut. Now, we had many guesses yesterday on what Marion's favorite donut was. We had Long John, and we had lemon filled, and we had raspberry filled, and we had jelly filled, and we had Crillers, and we had glazed, and I'm sure there were other ones we had guessed yesterday that I just don't remember. Bavarian cream, I remember that guess. But we don't have the right guess yet. So are we going to get this morning? What is Marion's favorite donut? 740-383-9944. Now, we did that for 4 hours yesterday and never did get the right answer. So does anybody have any idea? And I will tell you, I have this written down. It's not like I'm just pulling it out of my head. And Angie yesterday, she was sending me a message on the internet. She guessed it. So it is it's not on the internet, but it's in a message sent through the internet, the correct answer here to Marion's favorite donut. And she got it. And a matter of fact, I saw her last night and she said, I can't believe nobody guessed that. Well, we'll see if it comes up this morning. Marion's favorite donut, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what it is or brave enough to take a stab at it again this morning? Marion's favorite donut. 740-383-9944. I think somebody yesterday even guessed cake donuts with sprinkles on them. And yesterday, I was also trying to remember, because there was something over at the root beer stand last year that they did involving donuts. And I believe it was some kind of donut hamburger. I never got one. They were very, very popular, was my understanding. But I may be speaking out of turn here, but I think the donut was used as the bun for the hamburger. Now, why this went over big, I have no idea, but it did, and I think, if I remember this right, they were even running out of donuts because it was so popular. So I don't know. Donut hamburgers. Does that sound good to you? But then we had these two things called in yesterday that just sounded terrible. Now, the one that sticks with me long term is a cinnamon roll with chili poured over top of it. Now, can you imagine such a thing? Does that even remotely sound good to you? Somebody called in, and I believe the caller said they had never tried it, but that many people had liked it. And then we had another caller say that maybe it was because, for the same reason, you know, Skyline Chili put cinnamon in their chili, that maybe that's why it tastes good. But here's the problem. If you put a cinnamon roll in the chili bowl, you're also getting all that cake or all that flour or whatever that is, however you want to refer to it, all that roll. And you're also getting the icing. And that's different than just pouring cinnamon in a chili bowl. So that's where that, to me, becomes a little stomach-turning. Go ahead, caller.
Would that have been a powdered sugar donut?
Not a powdered sugar, no. You know, I am shocked, honestly, that nobody has gotten this yet. Because, like I said, I have been in cars with people at all three different donut shops here and have heard them order this, and it was the one that Duncan ran out on their opening day of.
Well, I don't know, that just popped into my head real quick when you said that she said that she couldn't believe somebody wouldn't guess it. But they, private sugar donuts are messy too, so I don't know that they would, you know.
Well, this is a fairly common one. Now,
well, see, I thought it was vanilla cream, and somebody already guessed that. So.
Well, yeah, and that was a guess yesterday. Now, I will say that was probably closest. That was probably the closest guess that we had to what it was. But, yeah, it's one of those ones. You know, like vanilla cream. I don't think you can get vanilla cream in the grocery store.
Right.
But, and I don't really, I don't want to say it for sure, but I don't think you can get this one in the grocery store either.
Well, then somebody said maple cream, and of course my mind went to the kind that has the, I think it's peanuts on top, isn't it, or nuts on top.
Oh, yeah. What are those?
Nuts? Peanuts, aren't they?
Well, they are, but I'm trying to think. Do they have a special name?
I thought they were maple.
Just maple? It might be. It could be.
No.
Well, I was so confused yesterday because...
Buttercream? Buttercream?
Not buttercream, no, but those are in the right area. I just cannot... The cinnamon roll, do you understand the cinnamon roll and the chili?
Yeah, because a lot of people like that sweet, salty combo. So, yes, I understand that part. Not that I would eat it, but I understand it.
I guess why I can't coalesce that one is that, first of all, I'm not sure that a cinnamon roll or a maple roll are even a roll. They're not rolls, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
And to put that, I get the cinnamon flavor, and I even get the sweet flavor, because I think most of us know that Skyline uses cinnamon, and that's why I think their chili's popular with a lot of people, is it does have that sweet taste. But just that cake that is on a cinnamon roll, and that white, which I don't even think that's icing. I don't know what that is. Kind of a glaze, yeah. I think more of a glaze than an icing. Mm-hmm. That's on top of a cinnamon roll. I can't see that floating around in your chili bowl.
Well, I used to know this gentleman that grew up. Whenever they would have spaghetti, they would always put sugar in spaghetti. And some people didn't understand that, but there's certain things that when you put it into foods, it enhances the whatever's in there to begin with, like salt in cookie dough or sugar in something that's would be considered savory. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a relative who was a good cook, was not a bad cook at all, but anytime she cooked anything with, let me see an example. I don't think she did it with spaghetti, but let's say chili or... what would be another thing she would have done this with? A lot of tomato-based things. She always added sugar.
Right.
And I remember that used to bother some people because they like their chili without any sugar.
They wanted it tart.
They wanted it tart. They wanted that base chili flavor. And what I have found over the years is, because I have eaten other people's chili that was homemade, very few people add sugar to it. So, I don't know. Do you add sugar to your chili?
No.
No, yeah. So, most people don't do that.
And I had stopped making, I discovered I've developed an allergy to tomatoes at this stage in my life, and that just thrills me. But, you can't continue to eat this stuff if it causes you skin problems and so that. And also, while I have you on the phone, Scott, I wanted to tell you that just here recently, I've done something and created a different dish that you like so well with the cottage cheese.
Oh.
A friend offered me a 24-ounce carton of plain yogurt. And then he said, can you use this? I can't. And I said, well, give it to me, you know. And so what I did, and it worked out okay, I used the 24-ounce carton of plain yogurt, and I mix that with a container of Cool Whip, you know, like you use. And I use two cartons of sugar-free Jell-O. And then, of course, I always add drained fruit like pineapple. And I found that very refreshing. And I'm not crazy about curds in that dessert, but, you know, that's part of it. But when you have it with yogurt, there are no curds. And if anything, it just has, yogurt tends to have a tartness to it naturally. And I like it.
So this, basically, you just substitute the vanilla yogurt for the cottage cheese.
Actually, it was plain. It wasn't even vanilla.
Oh, not even, just plain, like the white yogurt.
Just plain yogurt, yes.
Well, that's, yes. You know, it doesn't sound bad.
It was good.
Well, you know, that dessert, so many people, when they hear it, they cringe. And I think it's because a lot of people don't like cottage cheese.
Well, maybe they would like it this way,
they might.
Either way, it's okay. But when it comes to those curds in there, I think the yogurt kind of, you know, was appealing to me, and I will make it again.
Well, you know something, and I don't think I've ever talked about this on the air, but this is still one of my favorite dishes that I really do make a lot. I make it probably once a week. But have you noticed that there you cannot find sugar-free Jell-O? I mean, and on the Jell-O brand.
Yeah,
what is that? What is
going
on?
Well, I don't know, because one day when I went into Kroger's and I asked one of the clerks, she said, well, I didn't even know that we didn't, and I said, you don't have it on the shelf. There isn't even a place for it.
I know. It's very strange.
And I thought I heard or something that they were phasing out Jell-O because it wasn't as popular, but I can't, I'm not saying I can't imagine it not being as popular, but I use sugar-free Jell-O all the time, and when you can't even find it in the store.
Well, what I'm shocked about is when I go into these aisles, because it's usually right there with the pudding. Now, the sugar-free pudding still seems to be there.
I don't
know what it is about the sugar-free Jell-O. Now, when this whole thing started, it was just at Kroger that I noticed it, and I thought, well, maybe it's a Kroger distribution problem because I could still get it at Meijer. Well, I went into Meijer a week ago today, and they were having the same problem, so I don't know if their distributor kicked out too.
Yeah, there you go. And Walmart, for a while, they said they wasn't getting it in. Now, you can find it in Walmart, but you don't get the varieties. My brother went way up to Walmart in Upper Sandusky and brought me home peach. But I like the varieties, too.
I always like the strawberry banana. That's what I used a lot of the time in that concoction that I make up. And for a long time, you could only get strawberry banana at Walmart for whatever reason. But I don't know if you can. I honestly have not looked at Walmart. I was just getting it at Meijer when Kroger kind of put it by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But boy, when I was at Meijer last week, it was not there.
I know. So I don't have the answer either for that. So I don't know.
Well, we'll hope it comes around, but I appreciate the recipe and the guests on the donut. I hope we get this before the show's over today.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, not powdered donuts, but that's a good guess. Not powdered or cream-filled at this point. What is Marion's favorite donut? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. 58 minutes past the hour here on a rainy, rainy day. Maybe it'll clear up and everything will be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? But we don't have Marion's favorite donut yet, and we are swapping stories about people maybe we knew or maybe we were involved ourselves in wars. And there were a lot of people who were involved in war activity who were not actually in combat. You know, they did other things. Those are interesting to hear about, as well as people who were back here on solid land. Let's see if this is it. Go ahead, caller.
Is it the chocolate frosted donut?
Not the chocolate frosted. That's a good guess, too, though.
Sprinkles.
No sprinkles. No sprinkles on this donut. I don't think there are any sprinkles on this donut altogether.
This is impossible.
I don't know how Angie guessed it right off, and she did not even know I was going to ask this question. So I don't know how this is slipping by.
We need another hint.
What
about the donut holes?
No, it's not the donut holes, but those, you know, though, what are, at Tim Hortons, they call them Timbits. At Dunkin', they call them Munchkins. I don't know what they call them at Starbucks. Probably expensive.
Probably.
Yeah. More in the, like, the cake pop, the old cake pop. Well, I'll think of a hint, and maybe when we come back at 9:15, I'll have a good hint on this.
Yes, driving me nuts.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break for news and weather and all kinds of other good stuff and come back at 9:15, so don't you dare go away.
About it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. If you ask Fish...